Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Chiwanda.
Good afternoon, and how are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Very well, I said.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, yesterday we spoke about, and you gave us the definition between, the differences between rather waiting and worrying. Today, we'd like to talk about a common temptation, the temptation to fix things ourselves, the temptation to do it for ourselves. Now, when God promises something, the gap between the promise and fulfillment, it is often filled with anxiety. We look at stories like Abraham and Sarah, for example, realizing that rushing God's plan often leads to unnecessary pain. And if you're out there joining us for the first time, please do make sure that you enjoy this conversation. We started yesterday already, but you're not too late. Thank you so much. Now, Pastor, looking at Abraham and Sarah's situation, how can we avoid the Ishmael, inverted commas, approach to God promised, God promises?
Ishmael approach. The Ishmael approach indeed brought consequences of pain and division and confusion. So to answer this question, we need to trust God's timing, because delay is not denial.
Yep.
And God's promises unfold at the right time, not when our emotions demand. No, because there's a text in the Bible, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, it says, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. God has made everything beautiful for its own time.
Yep.
For its own time.
Mm.
So you see, if everything is beautiful according to God for its own time,
yep,
so there is a time. There is a time for everything in that case. So we must seek God's guidance, you know, through daily prayer, through studying scripture, that would align us with the will of God so that we can then avoid taking the Ishmael path.
Mm,
also, we must lean on God's wisdom. We must lean on God's wisdom. You see, in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, we are told that we should trust the Lord with all our heart.
Yeah.
And we should not depend on our own understanding.
Yeah.
We should seek his will in all that we do, and he will show us his path, the path which we should take. So we should lean on the wisdom of God, and also guard against fear and pressure, because sometimes we are pressurized by the social environment, even family. We can be pushed by family to fix our own things, our own way, without turning to God.
Mm.
Then we must also learn from biblical examples. You have just given us the example of Sarah and Abraham there, convincing each other that God's promise was delaying.
Mm.
God was late. They wanted something fast, something quick.
Something quick, yeah.
And so those examples, like Joseph, you know, Joseph had waited in prison for a long time, in prison, but then at the end he was very successful. But these ones, they waited long, of course, for years. They were coming to their 99th year for the husband. But you see, they goofed at the end. They goofed at the end because they twisted the whole thing and went to Hagar.
Mm.
So we must also focus on God's character, the character of God.
Yeah,
is faithful. God is very faithful. Even when situations look impossible, we can trust him.
Mm.
We can trust him. So we must put our faith in what God can do for us.
Yeah, and we do need to do that indeed. Now, what is the story of Sarah rushing God's promise with Hagar teach us about waiting?
Yeah, you see, this story here, it teaches us that waiting tests faith and shapes character. Waiting upon God, waiting upon the promises of God, shapes our character. It also tests our faith. Abraham and Sarah were tested. They were tested in that case. They were tested and they were impatient.
Yep.
They were impatient. And you know, impatience, again, we learn there that impatience breeds conflict.
Yes.
Because they were impatient, they organized their own method, then there was conflict in the home. There were divisions in the home. So we must also see that God's promises are sure and his timing is very perfect.
Mm.
So God has a timing for the birth of Isaac. He had a specific appointed time for that baby to be born, but they were looking at it as too far into the future and not materializing, you know. So we also learned there that human shortcuts cannot replace divine fulfillment. They can't.
Yeah,
you see,
definitely.
We must ensure that we are patient, and then we are banking on God's promises, and that our human shortcuts cannot change or replace God's intentions or change the fulfillment.
Yeah, very, very important. Thank you so much for that. Now, the process of waiting, you know, why is that process often more important than the destination of the promise?
Very important question. Very important question. You see, the process of waiting entails time. It takes time. You are waiting in time. So the longer the time of waiting, even better, because waiting teaches us patience. Waiting teaches us humility and dependence on God. So it's a process of character formation. It's a process of character formation so that it breeds faithfulness at the end, and it aligns with the purposes of God. And then also, the process here is important because it deepens our relationship with God. As we wait for that which has been promised, or we wait for that which we have prayed for, then we continue to relate with God closely and deepen our relationship with him through prayer, through the study of the word of God, and through obedience to his will. As we do that, the process strengthens our intimacy with the Almighty in ways that make us strong in faith, in trusting that God will do something about our situations.
Yeah.
And then also, it is time for preparation to receive the promise. Because you see, the preparation requires, like in the case of Joseph, his preparation required him in prison for years. You see, away from home, where he was taken as a loving, tender kind of his son. But now he's out there on his own as a prisoner, as a foreigner, as somebody who must submit himself and so on. So he learns a lot of things about stewardship management, how to be humble and how to obey the authorities and how to serve them properly and how to sympathize with his own friends who were also suffering in prison. So you see that he's learning lessons during this time. So those lessons are preparing him for what is coming, the promise God has for him. And then maybe it also helps us, the process helps us to shift our focus from the gift to the giver.
Yeah.
To the giver. Because if the gift just came immediately, then immediately we would be focusing on the gift. But the time of waiting makes us focus on the giver in our relationship with him as he teaches us the various lessons. We focus on his goodness, and that reorients our hearts to the blessings that are to come. And then it also protects us against pride. You know, we are naturally proud, we people. But when we are given time before we are blessed, then during that time of humility, we also divest ourselves of the pride that is sometimes natural. Waiting reminds us that every blessing is by grace, not by achievement.
Yeah.
Every blessing is by grace, not by achievement.
Not by achievement. at all. Now, Pastor, you know, I'm a little worried. So, you know, as Bella, we have, sometimes we have emergencies. And now you are saying that we must just forget about that and just wait. It's a bit worrisome because then it means somebody will die while we are waiting.
You know, our God is wiser than ourselves.
Mm.
You see, prayers sometimes have been prayed, heal this person now. Heal this person now. And that very person has died.
Mm.
You think God is careless?
Hmm.
Not at all. Mm. Not at all. God knows what he is doing on each and every life on this planet. Do you know? You know, we belong to him, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
All of us. All of us on the whole globe belong to him, belong to him. We are his. So he is not careless about other cases and then careful about other cases. So he allows what must happen to happen, and he allows those that be healed to be healed. Do you remember that he said in Exodus 33 or so, I will be gracious to the one I want to be gracious to.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. That's what he said. So he has choices also in how he's going to handle his people.
Yeah.
And you can't and you can't force him to make somebody sighted when he wants him to be, when he that person must be blind his whole life.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we as I said, we get very worried about, you know, the time, and we need the time to go, and we need to go to attend to certain things because, you know, things are critical on our side. Now, how does that, you know, trick us into thinking, nah, man, let me actually just do this. You know, maybe I can do it better than God.
Are you talking about alternatives there?
Yeah.
A kind of shortcuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, it is natural for us to be impatient with waiting because there are things that we want.
Mm.
There are things that facilitate our lives on the planet and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there are factors behind every other apparent success.
Mm.
Maybe that I should highlight it here because maybe we are quick to get to shortcuts because we want to achieve something which we can see with our eyes. Others are doing this, others are doing that. I know we will handle that. But let's consider that there are factors, there are things that make people be what they are or have what they have.
Mm, mm.
So the common shortcuts we have here are coming out of human solutions. God has his own solution. I have my own solution. So that's where the conflict is coming.
Ah,
God has his own time, but I want a quick fix right now. Something must happen because my situation must change immediately.
Mm.
You know? Then maybe I also want to listen to pressure. What is my wife saying? What is my husband saying? What are my children saying? What are my colleagues going to say if I don't match with what is required? Maybe social pressure. Social pressure can come also as something that motivates us to take shortcuts, like Sarah did. And maybe we want to choose a comfort zone where we want to be comfortable. Because, you know, waiting is not comfortable. Waiting is not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you are waiting while suffering, like Joseph.
Yeah.
You are waiting while suffering. Yeah? You are waiting in prison. You are waiting while sick, you are waiting while losing children, you are waiting while losing property. Things are happening in your life, but you are waiting. Waiting for what? So that confuses us. So we choose that maybe since God is delaying, what if I just get married to this rich person, even though he belongs to another lady? If he is eyeing me, I just accept it because maybe it's God's answer. Mm. You think it's God's answer, you are taking somebody's husband, you see?
Mm.
You see? But you think it's God's answer.
Yeah.
So I think that we should check our human reasoning against the will of God.
Mm. Mm.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, when we wait for God,
yes,
like Joseph did,
yes,
what is it that is, what are we actually being trained for?
That's a very important question, and we should come directly to Joseph's issue. You see, that man was putting on colorful clothes at home. And that man was beloved by the father. But when he was sold into slavery, that whole thing changed. And he went even to prison, but that was all a school for him. It was a training school. It was a classroom, God's classroom for him. So waiting is God's classroom for us. One, it is formative to change our character. Two, it is a training for endurance and patience, so that we must learn to trust God and trust his timing. It is also a training for humility.
Yeah.
For humility. You know, as a foreigner, a prisoner, how do you become pompous in another land, in other people's lands? You are stripped of all your pride. And you are trained for faithfulness in obscurity, because nobody's going to look at you as popular, even when you are faithful. Your faithfulness is in a humble situation. So he was also being trained for leadership. So we can be trained for leadership through service. In case of him, he was a manager at Potiphar's house. He was a manager in the prison. He was learning how to care for people. And then he was being prepared for positions in government, you see. So it also trains us for faith and resilience.
Yes.
Trials deepen his reliance on God. So trials shape us into leaders, you know, how to deal with pressure, under pressure when you're working, leading other people. There's a lot of pressure. Do you learn how to remain faithful to God even under duress? Faithful to God and faithful to duty and faithful to those you are under, even under duress. You also learn empathy through waiting. Waiting gives you learning. Because like Joseph, he experienced a lot of injustice firsthand. He saw people being bullied, being made to suffer, and he was also suffering. So he was saying, if I become a leader, I don't want this to happen to other people. So it trains us to empathize with other people. So the prison waiting of Joseph is a big lesson to us for stewardship, for companionship, and for trust in God.
Yeah, now, you know, while we wait, Pastor, we may be looking at, you know, all around us, and we are seeing people prosper. We are seeing people getting by and getting better, and their lives are just moving smooth. How do we handle that kind of pressure?
That pressure is very important to look at, because that's very tempting. That's very, very tempting. But you see, Psalm 37, verse 7 reads, "Be still before the Lord and wait for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways."
Yes, yes, yes.
So the pressure of seeing others prospering is real and can be quite agitating and disturbing socially and psychologically. Waiting can be a temptation to doubt God's fairness. God, you are doing this to them. What not to me? What not to us? You know? The problem there is of self-comparison with others. You are comparing yourself with others, contrasting them from you. That can grow into jealousy, envy, and covetousness. That can also propel us into taking shortcuts. So there are certain things to remember. I was just thinking, I said, we must remember that there are factors into apparent success, multiple factors. A multitude of factors, some unknown, and not all factors that lead to success are clean or holy. Some are very sinful. Some are very sinful. And God says, do not covet. Do not covet anybody's anything. In other words, he's saying, don't look at those who are successful, because you don't know how they became successful.
Yes.
You don't know their background. You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know where they're going. So don't. That's a commandment. So scripture shows that apparent prosperity doesn't equal to lasting blessing. You, those people are blessed. You don't know whether they are blessed or they are cursed.
Yeah.
Because the devil can, also bless. So, so Jesus tells us that one's acquisitions, what one acquires or accomplishes, does not equal one's own life. So life itself is the most valuable thing one can have. Life supersedes all the success that this earth can offer. So, because we get everything from nature, the most important thing is that we should walk humbly with our God and do the right. So maybe to answer your question with points. Number one, shift perspective.
Yes.
Shift your perspective. Change your mindset. It's very important because you don't know where the success of the successful is coming from, and you don't know where they're going with it. There is an element of eternal prosperity versus temporal prosperity. When prosperity is from sinful angles, it ends here on earth. But the success that comes from God's grace, God's favor, has eternal reward.
Yeah.
And involves eternal treasure of a life filled with God. So make sure that your life is filled with God, and that life filled with God should define your success. That means that success that is invisible should be primary and causative to the success that may be visible. But if success, visible success, does not include invisible success, then this visible success is useless.
Yeah.
It's useless. Yes. Also, guard against envy, which makes us restless. Waiting teaches us upon the prosperity of others. You know, I once developed a solution, a spiritual solution to this problem.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought I would tell you this one.
Mm-hmm.
My solution was that when I read the Psalms 24, verse 1, the whole world belongs to God, and everything in the world belongs to God,
yeah,
and all human beings in the world belong to God. When I read that, I said, now my solution. If people are prospering in this world, they are my brothers and my sisters.
Yes.
My blood relatives, according to Acts 17, verse 26, God made us with one blood in this whole world. So everyone is my brother, everyone is my sister. So what they have comes from my Father.
Yeah.
My everlasting Father, God. So if somebody is having cars or houses or whatever they have, that is my property because it's God's property. I don't know whether you're understanding me.
Yeah, I understand you.
Whatever everyone has on this planet belongs to my Father. So I said, if they have and they are my brothers, what's the problem with me if I don't have? I will sit not having because God knows that I don't have. And he knows that my brothers and sisters have. So I will wait until he gives me two. That's how I solved that problem. Yes, because I said everyone is my brother. So yes, if they have, they have property of our Father. So should I envy them?
No, there's no need because it belongs to your Father.
It belongs to my Father.
Now,
and they're also my brothers and sisters.
Yes.
That's how I solved
it. And so you can't be jealous of them.
I can't be jealous. God has appointed times for each and every person. And we must focus on faithfulness, not on comparison.
Yeah.
We should measure on God's character, his eternal character. Seek God more than you seek what God gives you. Seek him. Seek him. Don't seek much what he gives you, the blessings. No, don't seek much about, don't seek too many blessings or too much blessings. Seek God himself. He's your reward. He's your greatest blessing on this planet.
Yeah. Now, Pastor, we're going to leave you, but before we let you go, just one more question that we just want to put across. You know, how does a slow cooker faith produce better results than a microwave faith, as it were?
That's a very important question as well. These are two approaches to spiritual growth and trusting in God. Slow cooker faith shows that time and patience is implied or metaphorized there. It's looking at faith that grows slowly, that develops in a slow way. It is consisting of prayers, Bible study, consistent prayer. I mean, Bible study, studying the word of God and obedience to him. So it gives depth of relationship with God. So it's like there is a relationship between you and God, and that relationship of faith and love, based on faith and love, is growing during the waiting time, and it is producing maturity of your spiritual being. It is also producing resilience and wisdom. This kind of depth of flavor is actually growing in you. So it's also transformative, because faith that grows gradually transforms character and aligns us with the will of God and with his character. That's the slow cooker. But the quick cooker, faith, the microwave faith, seeks for quick results, instant answers to prayer, immediate deadlines for blessings, and fast solutions, quick alternatives. And as a result, it is shallow in its flavor. It is shallow in the building of relationship of faith and love between you and God, because it gives you temporary comforts or blessings as you want them. But the strength, the spiritual strength, is lower. And also it is fragile under pressure, meaning that when your faith is tested, when your obedience or your resilience is tested, you become very weak. You collapse. So collapsing when tested under difficulties, under suffering, becomes your characteristic, which is not correct. So the microwave one is too quick. It's a faith that is emotional and not built on the rock.
Yeah,
it's built on sand.
Man, Pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through this afternoon. Always a pleasure to talk to you. We are going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and the same place. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you so much. So with you.
Thank you so much, and bye-bye.
Bye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.